Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Loud and Local continues on The Rock with Kevin Deers, 99.9 KISW.
It's Loud and Local, the Stay Home Sessions. We were scheduled to do this in studio and then, well, the entire world went upside down, but it's okay. I'm on the phone right now with Jamie Reynolds from a band called 1967. First off, how are you doing, man? How are you staying sane? How are you staying safe? How are you staying not going crazy?
I'm doing really well. If I focus on my dog sleeping on the bed right now, it makes me feel a lot more serene.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
Just working from home, spending time with family, you know, doing the deal one day at a time.
We might, the humans might be having a bad time or a hard time or stressful, but I think the dogs are the most appreciative of this time. They're like, yeah, more dad time, more mom time. I think the cats are ready for us to go back to work, though.
Oh, I completely agree.
The cats are like, yo, I need my space, bro. But yeah, so 1967, you guys are a Portland-based band. First off, I got to ask, what's the origin of the name?
Origin of the name. It's a great year for cars and music, number one.
Okay, yeah.
Number two, my brother Jeff Reynolds was born that year. And it's kind of an in-memory kind of a deal with him.
Yeah.
He passed away about 20-plus years ago, 1988. Still an unsolved crime up in Skagit County, up in your neck of the woods.
Wow.
Trying to figure out what happened to him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Older brother, looked up to him, musician, songwriter, same kind of deal.
So
the family.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Is your older brother the one who got you like into music and like kind of like lit that flame for passion for music for you?
Yeah, he was one of them. I mean, him, obviously my dad, Jim, and my grandmother, Norma Small, she was a pianist. She played piano and, mm-hmm. and bands for 80 years or so.
Yeah.
So she was a performer as well back in the old days.
Wow. Coming from like a musical family. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been great.
When did you pick up an instrument and what's like your earliest memory of like trying to do the thing that everyone around you was doing?
I'd probably about 4 years old, maybe earlier, 3-4 years old. Piano.
Nice.
I started piano lessons as 4. But yeah, there was instruments everywhere. Organ, drum sets, guitars. I had an acoustic guitar when I was real little. Wasn't really into it back then, but then I picked that up later when I was about 11. Kind of picked it back up. But yeah, I went from piano, then I went to bass guitar, playing Motley Crue songs.
Yeah.
And then I think before that, it was like piano, drums, and then bass guitar, and then guitar.
Nice.
Kind of singing along the way, you know?
Yeah.
Singing at school and all that stuff.
So so all this music is around you, but I'm curious, and even if it's embarrassing, I'd like you to tell the honest truth. What was the first album, be it CD, vinyl, cassette, whatever, the first piece of actual physical media, music-wise, that you purchased on your own, with your own money, not given to you by, like, the cooler older brother or your parents or something?
Even for the cassette tape, something like that?
Yeah, first album, like, whether it be cassette, CD, whatever, that you purchased on your own.
I want to count, I want to count this. It was a gift given to me for my birthday when I was, gosh, must have been under 10 years old.
Yeah.
Metallica's Ride the Lightning.
Nice. Okay. Yeah, dude. That's a good...
I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this is kind of strange. I love it. It was my babysitter gave it to me.
It's a cool babysitter.
He was listening to Sailing in the Sea of Cheese and like all that stuff, like Primus.
Nice.
Early Soundgarden, Fat Motorfinger, you know.
Sounds like he was a stoner babysitter. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah, late to football practice. Kind of guy.
Exactly. Take a little break outside. Why don't we shout out the other people that are involved with 1967? Who am I not speaking with today that's in 1967?
Well, currently we've got Sean Kenny on drums here in Portland. And then another guy named Will Strong who's been playing bass with me.
Okay.
So those are my current guns right now.
Yeah.
But I play with a lot of different guys around a lot of different areas of the U.S., so it's been fun so far.
Cool, man.
Yeah, well, started in Arizona quite a few years ago, and then Washington, and then now Oregon.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk like the origin story of 1967. So was it kind of like your brainchild, and you said you started it in Arizona?
Yeah. That was in 2011 or so. And the main lineup consisted of a guy named Scotty Sines on guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then me, and then Jordan Courtney on bass, and Nathan Marchi on drums. And it kind of just evolved from there.
What brought you back to the Northwest?
Gosh, family, I would say.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was too hot down there.
Yeah.
I couldn't do any more summers down there. I just couldn't do it.
Playing some shows up.
I love that town. Lots to do there. Really hot.
Imagine. So, you were from the LeConnor, Mount Vernon area, you said, but now you're living in Portland. What drew you to Portland?
Well, Portland, it's really close to a lot of our family members, and it's also a metropolis, which I would prefer to live in.
Yeah.
Got a 4-year-old daughter.
Awesome.
So we're really close to grandparents up in your way.
Yep.
So it's nice to be able to go up there. My partner, she lived here for 11 years in the past, so she considered it home. So, you know, it's always a happier life that way. Your partner's happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy life. Happy wife, happy life. So aside from, you know, the big grand plans to come into the studio of Loud and Local. I'm kidding, of course. What other things did you have planned? Was there anything that COVID and the whole pandemic has kind of put on hold for you? Was there any shows, tours, or like recording or anything?
Yeah, I can appreciate that. We had a tour scheduled, a 5-day run from Eugene, Oregon, up to Arlington, Washington.
Yeah.
We were doing Eugene... it was like Eugene, it was 5 days in a row, it was like Eugene, Portland, Tacoma, Washington, Seattle, over at the Funhouse.
Yeah.
And then we were going to do the Mirkwood for our last day. It was like a Tuesday through Saturday kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was all locked and loaded from like the 24th, I think, to the 30th or something like that. So this month, all of them canceled, as you can imagine. But they're going to let us reschedule them when the time is right.
Yep.
So we're just taking it one day at a time. But yeah, and then some of the booking stuff I do as well, got put on hold too.
Yeah.
Booking shows and booking agency.
Well, let's just hope that things can get back to a relative sense of normalcy, at least in some time soon. So how, because of these, you know, obviously gigging musicians and independent artists and stuff, their main source of income is these shows, at least. How can we support 1967 outside of that? Like, where can we purchase the album? Do you guys have any ways to do that online?
You can do it on iTunes and all of the online retailers.
Yeah.
This newest stuff that you're spinning, you know, I wish I could say that as far as the main retailers, but you can get it through me directly.
Nice.
These five songs that you've been kind of, you know, hitting on the radio occasionally.
Yep.
I'm really enjoying this new recording. It was a lot of fun working with John Kurzweig on it over in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Ooh. So did you...
I've also been based over there, too.
Oh, really? Okay. Nice. Yeah. All over the place, dude. Your origin story finds you guys all over. So actually, let's jump into one of the songs right now. And this is new material by 1967. I'm talking with Jamie Reynolds from the band. Is this going to see a proper release anytime in the future, or is this just a taste of what's to come?
You know, it's unreleased right now. I do want to release it. I'm still shopping it around.
Yeah.
To try to find a home for it right now.
Totally.
So anyone that gets to hear it is really, really fortunate, I suppose.
Yeah, get out your tape decks, old school bootleg style. I'm just kidding. Tape traders.
But yeah, probably before the end of the year, regardless of what happens.
Right on.
Released.
Well, this is new music. You hear it first, then. It's Uncle Dan, 1967. We'll be back with more on Loud and Local. Stay home sessions.
Yeah.
right. It's Loud and Local Stay Home Sessions. Talking with 1967 founder, member, original project lord, master of the domain of 1967.
What's happened?
Exactly. So Jamie Reynolds, of course, we're talking with him, and you just heard a song called Uncle Dan. So I hear a little kid in the background. Is this been a fun time for you to like get to play with your kid a lot more? And do you have to pretend to also be teacher? Do you have to play the role of teacher and give them daily lessons and stuff?
Anything and everything, all of the above. Yes, it's been great. Her birthday was over the weekend.
Yeah, happy birthday.
May 10th. Yeah, and Mother's Day as well, the same exact day. So
that's
that
awesome.
Was quite fun, and
yeah.
It was a bit challenging. You know, it went really, really, really well.
Good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, we're always teaching her stuff. We're probably teaching her bad stuff, bad habits.
Yeah, well, you know.
It's been good to catch up with family. The quality time has been immense.
That's awesome.
I've really, really been enjoying it.
Have you...
Grateful.
As far as you go, you and your wife, have you guys gotten into, like, binging any shows or been filling your time with music or with any movies? Anything that you've really caught up on or filled your life with as far as, like, when the kid goes to bed?
There's been some good shows on lately. Netflix is always a good go-to. Acorns... is a good little kind of British deal that sometimes that she'll watch. I'll watch it occasionally.
Okay. I haven't seen that
I've
one
I've been
yet.
Watching Halter Catch Fire.
Oh.
I finally finished the last season of that from AMC.
Okay.
Which I was watching that 3-4 years ago, and I was like, oh, I forgot to watch the last season.
Yeah.
It's a good show. It's kind of a techie, you know, back when IBM started in Texas kind of deal, that whole thing.
So that's a kind of a good way to kind of segue into like your Clark Kent life. So you work in tech and you make apps and whatnot. So why don't we shout out your company if you don't mind, or at least just mention what you do.
Feel free. Yeah, just developing business for a company called The Main Branch,
mm-hmm.
And they're out of Woodinville. So they're on that side of the pond over in Seattle on the east side near all the big guys. And they're always working on projects. They're quite the shop, developing apps, building websites, doing computer programming, C++, you name it, anything and everything. 10+ years in the business.
Cool.
Very seasoned engineers.
How long have you been involved in not just that company, but also like the world of tech and coding and engineer and whatnot? What exactly is your title before I go any further, and then give me a little background on that?
Sales manager.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, business development. So finding people that need help in that area, IT people.
Mm-hmm.
CEOs, owners of companies, people with ideas, startups, any business, really.
Nice.
The business probably needs about 50 to 100 people, really, or more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool, man. Well, that I always like to ask musicians, because I mean there are some musicians locally that do make you know that are able to you know live off of their life, but or live off of their band and whatnot. But for the most part, most of us at least have a couple gigs to keep us going and a day job to help pay for our music addiction, right?
Exactly.
Let's dig a little deeper into some of your influences, man. So I've been asking this question just because it kind of gives me a key to some of people's backgrounds. So if you don't mind, why don't you pick 4 albums that have made a positive direct impact on your life, Jamie?
4 albums that have made a direct and positive impact on my life.
Yep.
Wow. Whew. Well, we're probably going to have to say Metallica's Ride the Lightning because we mentioned that earlier.
There it goes, yep. Day one.
Very profound hearing that. I remember sharing that with family members, you know, like my mom, and she's like, man, I'm like, you got to listen to Fade to Black. because such a just a really great. It really hit me at a very, very young age for some odd reason. It just had a great feel to it. And the acoustic into the heavy, it was just really surprising because all I'd been listening to is classic rock at that point and old 50s rock, you know, from your parents. But
nice.
I was like, man, this is really cool.
Yeah.
So I was in the bell tolls, and I just remember doing a lot of air drumming with my buddies to all that music. And just getting totally, completely immersed and lost in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It took you to another world, man.
Yeah, man.
The other ones, and I got to try to take the focus off Metallica. Probably Motley Crue.
Okay, yeah.
Dr. Feelgood. Yeah, I learned bass parts to all that on my own when I was learning how to play the bass.
Yeah.
That's what I remember with all the Motley Crue tunes. And the first album was pretty good, too. Didn't really have too much of an effect, but I remember that had some good songs on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that came out, and I went and got the tape for that, too. I think that was like the late 80s or something like that. So that was cool.
Yeah.
They released a video, you know, of them talking about all the videos that came out of the album. Like, Don't Go Away Mad and all the other ones, like Same Old Situation and all that. I remember picking up the video cassette for that whole album, too, when it came out. You know, you pick up VHS videos of bands that you love.
Yep.
Because you wanted to, like, have a collection of them.
Yep. Absolutely.
We did that back then, right?
I still have a few.
Yeah. That was fun. And then the tape would wear out after, like, a year, you know.
Right.
It's like going in and out.
We need another one. Buy the copy.
Yeah, buy another one, right?
Exactly.
Gosh, what else? I'd say like Three Dog Night, Greatest Tiff.
Okay.
I thought that was a good... They have some really good songs in their catalog. I grew up on that with my parents and all that jazz.
Yeah.
Joy to the World... You know, Shambhala, those are all great tunes. What else? Moving Pictures by Rush.
Oh, nice. Hell yeah. R.I.P. Neil Peart.
Indeed. Yeah, I was very sad about that for quite a while, actually. Yeah, that's a great album. And then probably there's a fourth one, right?
I think you just did four. You did Metallica, Motley Crue. Three Dog Night and Rush.
Hey, close enough for government work.
There you go.
All the Seattle stuff, I mean, but yeah.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Dell, hooking me up with the drivers and updates. All right, there we go. I'll edit that out. No, I won't. I'll keep it in. So why don't you, obviously growing up in the Northwest, what are a few of your favorite Northwest bands of all time?
Northwest bands. Probably Alice in Chains.
Yep.
Nirvana. Soundgarden.
Yep.
God, who else? So many more.
Those are some big hitters.
I mean, you gotta say Hendrix, I guess.
Of course. Yep.
Heart.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, who else? So many more.
Well, there are so many more. We don't have to keep going on and on about that, but those are some very important ones. I dig it, man. Before we end this here with you, I'm curious about what's your kind of goals for, obviously, who knows when everything will go back to a semblance of normal or what they're calling the quote-unquote new normal. What are some things you'd like to accomplish with 1967, assuming things can go back to somewhat normal and you can actually play shows and whatnot?
Yeah, I'd like to establish an omnipresence with the band and the music.
Yeah.
And get it released very widely across the world. And I'd like to mention Botch is another favorite band from the Northwest.
Oh, yeah.
Throw that in there.
Heavy.
But that's the long-term goal, the end goal, omnipresent for the music. And to finish that tour would be nice, too, get that running.
Yeah, to be able to play one show would also be nice, right?
To be able to jam.
Yes.
With the musicians would be a great goal as well.
I imagine. That can be frustrating. So, all right, man.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any words of advice or final words for anyone that's listening that might be a little, you know, cooped up and kind of bummed out?
Meditate. Pray. Feel grateful.
Yeah.
One day at a time. Take it easy. Easy does it.
Yeah. Right on, man. Well, I appreciate
that. Relax.
Yeah. Well, give it a shot. Give it a shot. Be easy on yourself, right?
Exactly. Definitely. Exactly.
So here's another song by 1967. We got Not That Good Yet. Right on, man. Well, thanks for the interview, and I appreciate it. And you know what? Let's take a rain check when we're actually allowed to go back into the studio and do an interview. Let's make that happen, okay?
I'd really love to help you out. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Hell yeah, man. Well, here it is, Not That Good Yet, new music by 1967. Thanks, Jamie.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.